It is a pleasure this morning to baptize Mason Lowen and Kingston Abbott. Mason is in grade 4, and Kingston I had placed in grade like 10, I think, but he's actually only in grade 6. He's so mature. But before we get to that, to give some context to what we're doing, let's talk a little bit about baptism and why we do it and how we do it. So getting baptized in water is a symbol, it's a picture of our spiritual baptism. The Apostle Paul said that we are all baptized by one Spirit, that's the Holy Spirit, into one body, the body of Christ, when we accept Jesus as our Lord and Savior. And just to change up the voices and to give it a little, to change voices, I'm going to allow ask Patty if she would, to bring up my internet friend Jeff, and he's going to help us understand how believing in Jesus works at sort of a kid's friendly level and how that relates to getting baptized. So, when you're ready, Patty. Thanks.
Hi there. I'm Jeff, and I heard that you want to get baptized. That is so exciting. For a long time, people just like you have been getting dunked down into water to show the people around them that they believe in Jesus and want to follow him for the rest of their lives. What a great decision. Now, I'm sure you have a few questions about being baptized, and that's why I'm here. Question number one, what does it mean to believe in Jesus? It's a great question, and I brought my artist friend Dan here to help us out. Let's start at the beginning. Before there was anything, there was God, and God is big. He's huge. He's so big he made the world and the universe. Then God made people. All the people who've ever lived. That includes you. He made people because he wanted to be friends with them. God loved all the people of the world and knew they needed help living their lives right. So he told them the things they should do and shouldn't do. He did this so they wouldn't hurt themselves or the people around them. Like he said, don't be mean, because it hurts people's feelings. Don't lie, because people will stop believing you. Listen to your parents, because they know what's best for you. Don't be selfish, because God has given all of us enough to take care of everyone. When we don't obey God, when we don't live the way he's told us to live, that's called sin. And all of us, every one of us, has sinned. And when we've sinned, it's kind of like we get dirty. Like when we tell a lie, or when we're mean to someone, or when we've disobeyed our parents, or acted selfishly. And we can't get rid of our sin. No matter how hard we try, no matter how much good we do, even. And sin keeps us from having a friendship with God. Because God is totally clean. He's perfect. He's never done anything wrong. The word for that is holy. God is holy. So what could people do? We're too covered in sin to be friends with God, but God really wanted to be friends with people. God had a plan, though. A plan to rescue us from our sin. To take away all of our dirtiness. He sent his son to the earth in the form of a man. God's son's name was Jesus. Jesus walked around telling people how much God loves them and wants to be friends with them. He told people how to be kind to each other and how to follow God better. And while Jesus was alive, he lived perfectly. He never did anything wrong. He never sinned. He was never selfish, never hurt people, and never lied. He did everything God wanted him to do. That meant that Jesus was a man who was never dirty. He was always clean. Jesus was holy. A bunch of people didn't like Jesus, though. They didn't like that he said he was God's son, and they really didn't like that he was perfect. And so, one day, they took Jesus and nailed him to a cross and killed him. Jesus, the only perfect person who ever lived, died on the cross. But this was God's plan, and God was not done. He brought Jesus back from the dead. Jesus was alive again. Jesus told people that God loved everyone so much that he sent his son to die for them. And if people would believe that Jesus came and died to take all of their dirt away, all of their sins away, then they could be friends with God forever and forever. So believing in Jesus means you believe that Jesus came and he died on the cross so that all of your sins, everything you've ever done wrong, and everything you ever will do wrong, is totally washed away. And that means that you can be friends with and live with God and Jesus forever. And that's what it means to believe in Jesus. Question number two. Why do people get baptized? That's another great question. One reason is because God told us to. In the Bible, it says that if we believe in Jesus, one great way to show it to people, to our friends, to family, to even strangers, is to get baptized. It's something we can do to show what we believe. It's basically a symbol. For example, I'm married, and on my wedding day, my wife gave me this ring. It's my wedding ring, and it's a symbol of me being married. When people see this ring, they think, oh great, Jeff's married, that's awesome. That's kind of like baptism. Baptism is a symbol that shows other people that you believe in Jesus. When they see you get baptized, they think, oh, you believe in Jesus. That's awesome. Now, let me show you what getting baptized looks like. When you get baptized, you get dunked down into the water and then pulled back out real fast. And that's a symbol of Jesus cleaning off all of your sin. Now, it's not magic water. It's just a symbol. It's kind of like you go down in the water covered in sin. And you come up clean and new, and it's all because of Jesus and his death on the cross. And you're not just saying Jesus cleansed you from all of your past sin. You're saying that you trust that Jesus gets rid of all of your future sin too. Yep, Jesus is that good to us. And it's because Jesus is so good and so kind that we want to trust him and be friends with him starting right now. Question number three. Is there any...
It's funny to freeze a person's face in a video, isn't it? And I don't know about you, but that artist, I was so distracted by his aggressive gum chewing. What? Dude, you should probably not do that. You're being filmed, right? It's weird. All right. Did that help? Did that help clarify some things? I hope that was good, eh? Was that good? That was good, eh? Yeah. Good. So did you notice the order of things there? So it's belief in Jesus, then be baptized, not the other way around. And that's the pattern we see in the Bible. Believe and be baptized. Baptism happens after we believe in Jesus because it's something we are led to do because we believe in Jesus. Not something we do so that he'll like us more. Water baptism is like an object lesson for ourselves because our spiritual baptism is hard for us to picture. It's pretty abstract, especially for younger people. But our water baptism gives us a visual. It may even act as standing up here and sharing your story might even, and being baptized, might even act as a kind of beginning or turning point or stake in the ground around, I'm going to follow Jesus. And this is where it started, right here. It started before then, but I'm moving forward from here. The act of water baptism, as Jeff has said, is a symbol of our salvation by faith. That is, dying to the old self, which is going down into the water, and rising to newness of life in Jesus Christ coming up out of the water. The Bible says it this way. When you were baptized, you were buried with Christ, and you were raised up with him because of your faith in God's power. God's power was shown when he raised Christ from death. What? That's what he did. You were spiritually dead because of your sins and because you were not free from the power of your sinful self. But, and this is found in Colossians chapter 2, but God gave you new life together with Christ. He forgave all our sins because we broke God's law. We owed a debt that listed all the rules we failed to follow, but God forgave us of that debt. He took it away, and as Jeff pictured with his chewing gum friend, nailed it to the cross. But some may ask, do kids actually get this? Do they understand the nature of these things? Do they understand their sinful nature enough to know their need to be saved and rescued from it? And those are fair questions, right? So let me answer those questions with a couple of my own questions because that's what Jesus did, so that's what I'm going to do. First, what might happen, consider this, if we decline a child's request to be baptized because of his age or our sense of his spiritual immaturity? If we decline his request on the basis of age, a child could feel like he can't be trusted to make important decisions for himself. He might get the message that he's too young. And it might even put off making the decision to be baptized indefinitely. When we remove the responsibility for making this decision from a child, assuming he understands the basics of salvation, I think it begs the question, who will decide when the time is right for the child to be baptized, and on what basis? If we decline her request on the basis of our sense of her spiritual immaturity, a child could feel like she isn't good enough to be baptized, right? She might get the message that baptism is only for those who have made some kind of cut, some kind of grade, that they're better than other people, and that's why they can get baptized. And then on what basis do we judge maturity and or readiness, for that matter? Baptism is not a sign of having attained some spiritual standard. It's an act of obedience to a command of the Scriptures. Second question, what might happen if we accept a child's request to be baptized? They might second guess it, right? They might wonder about its authenticity down the road. Did they know enough? Did they do it to please their parents who grew them up in their faith? Did they know their need to be saved? They can believe they've made a false start of their faith, and they can be confused about their salvation, right? They might go on to lead a life that is contradictory to their testimony, their baptism. But that doesn't necessarily negate the validity of their baptism based on what they acted on and knew to be true at the time, right? So let me say it somewhat more positively. First things first. Age does not seem to be a limitation to the work of God in a person's life. Jesus said, several texts that seem to support this thinking, "I tell you the truth, unless you change and become like little children, you'll never enter the kingdom of heaven." At another time, Jesus said, "I praise you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because you have hidden these things from the wise and learned and revealed them to little children." And then again, Jesus called the children to him and said, "Let the little children come to me. Don't hinder them, because the adults are trying to do that. For the kingdom of God belongs to such as these." Indeed, it seems that there might be something to be said about the relationship between the kingdom of God and childlikeness to enter into it and to be a part of it. Something is like, children believe easily, they trust easily. They don't demand proof after proof after proof of something or someone to believe in it or them. They are less skeptical because their youth has not calloused their hearts with cynicism. They are less self-conscious. They're less worried about making mistakes and less concerned about the judgment of others. Children are curious. They have wonder and they explore. They have innocence of inquiry, and they have imagination and daring. Imagine if we came to our faith this way as adults, curious, confident, uncalloused, ready to believe in God and his goodness and to imagine where he might lead us. That's the heart of a child. Secondly, baptism, after having said age doesn't seem to be a limitation to God's work in a person's life, secondly, baptism, as we've already intimated, follows conversion, right? So those who accepted his message, that is the gospel, we find this text in Acts chapter 2, were baptized, and about 3,000 were added to their number that day. What a day that would have been, by the way, right? What a day. Another text in Acts chapter 8, after Philip explained the way of salvation through Jesus to a servant of the king, and as they traveled along the road, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, "Look, here's some water. Why shouldn't I be baptized?" And he gave orders, did Philip, to stop the chariot. Then both Philip and the eunuch went down into the water, and Philip baptized him. Now, do you see it? There's no time lag between the acceptance of the message of the gospel and those baptisms, right? 3,000 plus that one. No maturation period of probation for any of these folks. No declining requests for baptism on the basis of spiritual maturity. just believe. And hey, there's some water. Why don't we just get baptized? I believe that Mason and Kingston have placed their faith in Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of their sins. In a moment, they will say so for themselves. I believe that Mason and Kingston are getting baptized today to express their faith in Jesus Christ, to go public with it, as we heard Jeff say. And I believe that Mason and Kingston are acting in obedience to Jesus Christ to the best of their knowledge at this time. It will then be our part, as I prayed earlier, even for our kids' zone, as grandparents and parents and families and friends, to help them along the way, to remind them, firstly, of this day, this beginning, this turning point, this stake in the ground, maybe, not to condemn them with, I told you, you should be more like this. You know, let's not do that, because none of us are perfect, right? But to reroute them in the truth of this day. And then secondly, to walk with them, to challenge them, and to encourage them in their faith as they grow older. Can we do that, family of faith and friends? And yeah. Thank you. That's a hearty amen. I appreciate that. It's good. So I'm going to ask, I think we had decided that Mason would come forward first this morning, and any family and or friends that would join him in doing that. Here's how we're going to do it, guys. So you guys can come up if you like at this time. Mason's going to read his story of coming to faith, which we've been calling a testimony. And I've asked his dad, as Mason has asked his dad, if he would be willing to baptize him this morning as one of the main discipling figures in his life. So, Mason, if you want to come up here, I'm going to get you. I have a mic here. Yeah, everyone can come up who would want to come up, family and friends. Oh, you want this to come? Okay. I was going to leave it there so he could put his, going to go, you want to, oh, I see. Beauty. Okay.
Don't read this one.
You can read Kingston's his testimony if you want, but I would recommend reading yours. Wow. Okay, I'm going to move you up here so we can give you a little more room. What's that? Is that good? Do you want to hold the microphone or do you want me to hold it for you?
I'll hold it.
Okay.
Okay, does this work? Okay, it works.
Whenever you're ready, buddy.
Hi, my name is Mason Lowen, and I'm going to tell you a little bit about my faith journey and why I'm choosing to get baptized today. I've grown up in a Christian home, and my family has always encouraged me to follow Jesus. I decided to welcome God into my heart on November 16th, 2018. I did this because I was ready to accept forgiveness for my sins and to follow Jesus for the rest of my life. One verse that means a lot to me is Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil. For you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. I like this verse because whenever I felt scared or afraid, my dad would read this verse to me. Whenever he read it to me, I would feel protected by God. One of my fears is dying, so I especially like the last line that says, I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. That sounds great. Knowing this, I don't feel scared anymore.
Amen, brother. Amen.
A worship... I'm not done. A worship song I really connect with is the song Reckless Love, especially the part where it says, He leaves the 99 to find me. Just like the story of the shepherd leaving his flock of 99 sheep to find the one lost sheep. This reminds me of how much God cares about me and makes me also wonder how I can have a reckless love for other people in my life. As I look ahead, I'm working on connecting with God on my own and praying, apart from just church and family devotions. I'm starting to realize all the good things God has done for me, and I want to thank him. I'm choosing to get baptized today because I feel terrible about my sins and know I am forgiven and have new life with God. I'm ready to take the next step in my relationship with God and to get baptized as a sign of my commitment to him. That is my faith journey and why I'm getting baptized today.
So So Mason will be preaching next week. Right? Yeah, that's right. Can't start too young. So we have some family and friends who would want to maybe speak a word or two over you, Mason, at this time, and then we're going to go into the waters. Beautiful.
All right, so Mason, I wanted to read to you Matthew 5, verses 14 to 16. You are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. And Mason, I know that this is the kind of life that you live. You are a light that shines. You don't put your light under a bowl. And we're so proud of you.
All right, so this is a prayer from Ephesians. I pray that out of his glorious riches, he may strengthen you with power. Through his spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your heart through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all of the Lord's holy people to grasp how wide and how long and how deep and how wide is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses all understanding, that you may be filled to all the measure of the fullness of God. All right, come on over, buddy.
You can climb in and just have your head at that end, okay, Mason? Yeah. I'll hold the mic for you. And so our participation immediately is going to be when he comes up out of the water. Kevin's going to lead us in the lighthouse chorus. So maybe we can have that lyric, the chorus.
Actually, I will sing my songs of love. The King has come, just the chorus there.
Wow, I did not know that.
Sorry about that, Rob.
So we're going to be singing something, whatever Kevin's decided. So that when you come up out of the water, we'll be like singing. Do you guys want to come over here and surround? Or are you comfortable where you are? Does anyone want to get in? No, I'm just kidding about that. Good. So I'm going to hold the mic here because I don't want you to touch it, okay? And your dad's going to say something, and then you can respond to him, okay?
All right, Mason. Do you believe that Jesus has forgiven your sins so that you can have a relationship with God?
Yes.
Do you believe that Jesus rose again from the dead so that you also can live after death?
Yes.
And do you commit to follow the example of Jesus so you can be part of his kingdom coming on earth as it is in heaven?
Yes.
Then on your confession of faith, I baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen. That made me cry. That made you cry too, didn't it? Yeah, you know what? That's such a good reason to cry. I love it when the kids support the parents, eh? That's beautiful. Come here, Dad. You're taking this hard. It's beautiful. Good job, Mason. Good job, family. Good job, church. I'm going to ask Kingston if he'd come forward at this time with his family and friends in support of him and to share his story. Kingston, you are ready. Do you have a copy of yours? Because I have one here. Okay, perfect. Do you want me to raise this up a bit? Perfect? Okay. We'll let them gather because they want to be here and hanging out with you. Thanks again, family and friends, for being here and supporting. Hi. Want to check that, see if it's on?
Hi.
Yep, there you go. Whenever you're ready, buddy.
Hi, my name is Kingston, for those who don't know me. I've been a Christian as long as I can remember. My dad says that I've asked how to be a Christian when I was 4, and we prayed for me to accept Jesus as my Savior. I want to get baptized because I want to show everyone that I accept the gift God gave me of eternal life through his Son, Jesus Christ. God has blessed me so much on my journey, bringing me closer to him. One of those blessings that I'm thankful for and reminds me of God's goodness is that I am here and alive. I was born not breathing. The nurses called code blue to maternity. At that moment, everyone in the delivery room started praying, and even when the nurses and doctors in the room had a look of, oh no, what do we do? My mother and her friends only prayed louder. God answered after 15 minutes of the doctors working on me. I started breathing. I know God has a plan for me and wanted me here, so he let me live. God is there for me when I am feeling discouraged. I started French immersion this year. It has been very difficult. I pray when I feel like giving up, and I know God has helped me along the way by encouraging me to keep trying. And I'm doing way better than I thought I would ever do. I love how God sent his very own son to be sacrificed for all our sins, not his sins, but for us, who made terrible decisions. When I was a little kid, I had questions like, why is my family Christian? Is it wrong not to be a Christian? I learned that not all people have gotten a chance to hear the gospel story of Jesus. And I bet if you or I told them who he was, they want to accept Jesus as their savior too. I also learned some people choose not to believe in him and refuse him as their savior. I learned that God is the one and only God, and he loves us all. I learned why my family is Christian. They know they need God's love. God is amazing, and he has helped them through so much as they walk to spend eternity with him. On my walk with God, I have made friends who are there for me when I need help or just to be encouraged. Growing up with my family has helped me grow in faith. They answered most of my questions about God the best they can. They share their experiences with God with me or point me in the right direction and encourage me to seek the answers out for myself. When they don't have the answers, I ask someone like Pastor Rob, who helps me understand God's word. Plus, he's always on the bright side. I have wanted to get baptized for a while, but I didn't know when I should do it. Then one night I said, I want to get baptized, Mom. Now here I am. Before I get baptized, I want to tell you what baptism represents, although Rob's already told us two times. Rob taught me this. It's like you are alive, then you're slowly dying on the cross like how Jesus died on the cross. And when you're dead, you are buried into a cave. And then you come out again with all your sins washed away. The verse I chose for myself that I remember in rough times is God has not given us a spirit of fear, but a spirit of power, love, and self-control. 2 Timothy 1:7.
Awesome. And it's Pastor Rob, by the way. Okay, so if anyone would be willing to... It's an awesome job, buddy. Sure.
I have to find it now.
Hurry up.
It's okay.
All right, Kingston. I guess I'll cry too. I didn't expect this. Thanks, Dan. You got it going, so here we are. Your mom and I are so happy you've decided to be baptized today. We try our best to share our faith with you, and it's very encouraging that you've chosen to make your faith your own. The passage God has given me for you is from Proverbs 3, verse 1 through 10. My son, do not forget my teaching, but let your heart keep my commandments, for they will add length to your days, years and peace to your life. Never let loving devotion or faithfulness leave you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart. Then you will find favor and high regard in the sight of God and man. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him and he will make your path straight. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and turn away from evil. This will bring healing to your body and refreshments to your bones. Honor the Lord with your wealth and with the first fruits of your harvest. Then your barns will be filled with plenty and your vats will overflow with new wine. Kingston, you're still young and have lots of your life to live. I pray that you would take these words to heart and always trust in the wisdom and understanding of God. You have always been comfortable and confident around people and have a way of drawing people to you. I pray that you will stay faithfully devoted to God and that everyone you encounter in life would see God in you. Getting baptized doesn't mean that your life is going to be easy or perfect, but since you have chosen to share in the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus, you will always have the one who has overcome death, on your side. We love you, buddy.
Amen. He almost made me cry.
Is there anybody else? We could? Yeah.
Kingston, this is a very special day for us as family. And Pac and I really take to heart that you have accepted Jesus in your life. And this is our prayer for all of our children and grandchildren. And I'll be sure to show Pac the video of your testimony too. We love you, Kingston.
Thank you.
All right, if that's everyone, let's maybe move over here a bit and make some room for Kingston to get through. You can get in, Kingston. Oh, that was close. Evangelina, I almost got you there. Oh, that would have been painful for me. It's very warm, yeah. Come on in, guys. Yeah, come on in. You can be sitting. It's probably the best because I'm going to be bending you backwards, and I don't want to do that with you kneeling. Don't baptize yourself. Give me a minute. Okay. It's already lounging in the water. Wow. Well, that's pretty nice, actually. Yeah. So, Kingston, just as Mason's dad asked him, I'll ask you the same kinds of questions. Do you believe that God so loves you that he sent his son to forgive your sins?
Yes.
And are you telling us today that you've decided to follow Jesus Christ with your life?
Yes.
All right, then. I count it a privilege as your pastor and your friend, and you can call me Rob, to baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Can you hold that for me? We're going to pray in a moment, just a prayer of protection and blessing on these two as they go into a world now, having identified and aligned their lives with Jesus, that can draw the attention of our enemy, Satan, the devil. He wants to discourage them, and he wants them to second-guess the steps they've made today. So in a moment, I'm going to ask you to join me by standing and praying those things. But before, they're going to ask the worship team if they'd reassemble, because we're going to close our service in a moment. That would be great. Again, thanks, family and friends that have come in support of Mason and Kingston. This is a fantastic day, and we're glad you're here. I'm going to ask you to stand with me now, then, and we'll pray that prayer. And you can be praying a prayer of your own where you are of the very same sort of nature. So indeed, Father, thank you so much for these stories that are about you, really. They're about what you're doing in us, but we turn them back to you to say you are awesome. You are love, and you love us. You forgive us. You've invited us to live heaven on earth now, even before we get there and then. And so I pray that you would protect, particularly this morning, Mason and Kingston, as they have committed their lives to you and have shown such by being baptized this morning. Often it's true that we'll take steps of faith and Satan will make us doubt those things, second guess those things. So I pray that this day would act as a stake in their lives. They'd be drawn back to it where they would have said, I said yes, and I want to continue to say yes. Because saying yes to you, Lord Jesus, is the best thing we can do, not just at baptism, but every day. I pray that you'd protect them, make them wise as they grow older, as they go into school tomorrow, that you'd protect them there. And when I say protect them, I also ask that you'd, as I think one of the parents or grandparents said, that these boys would act as light into their school, that their peers would say, wow, there's something there, something that I find really attractive. And it's you. It's you, Lord Jesus. So I pray that in addition to protecting them from being ostracized or bullied or having second guesses around what they've done, that you would also encourage them just to be themselves, to be light into the world, to love with the reckless love that Mason talked about in his comments. Let me pray these things in whose name? Jesus' name. Amen? Amen. Amen.